Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful Monday morning. And we're going to get started right away because we got to talk to someone that is making Black history in Central Florida and has a limited amount of time to do it and to talk to me anyway while he's doing stuff. So we want to welcome to the show again Mayor Jerry Demings, Mayor of Orange County, Florida. Good morning. How are you? Uh-oh. I don't know where he is. So hopefully we'll get him on soon. Mayor Demings has been in office for about a year now, and we are wanting to talk to him about the things that he's been doing over the past year. He's been very busy and things that he wants to accomplish in the upcoming year. And one of the things that he's been going around talking to everybody about transportation tax and he's trying to get some of the other municipalities on board and how it's going to help in terms of funding a lot of the infrastructure and transportation sources here in Central Florida. So want to try to talk to him. So we set this up a while back. So we're hoping to have him on this morning. Anyway, if you have questions, by the way, because he's not going to be on long, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. We also hope to have our Mortgage Monday expert, Jabir Nazir, on to talk about the latest in terms of rates and the things that are affecting it. And we know a lot of stuff that's going on right now that's affecting the interest rates with tariffs and also some of the other things that are happening with politics and also with the, you wouldn't think that health issues would have some sort of impact, but they do. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are affecting the interest rates. And on Friday, we're going to talk about the economy a little bit further with Paul V. Shelton Jr. He's our economist from Warwickshire. He's going to be on the show to give us a little bit more insight in terms of what's going on with the economy. Anyway, wanted to find out, we're still trying to see Princess, have you heard anything? Is Mayor Demings on yet? Okay. So we're going to continue. Also it's Black History Month, as you're aware. There's a lot of activities going on in the area. We just also had the Zora Neale Hurston Festival this weekend. And I have to apologize to everyone, including the Zora team, because we were going to try to get them on Friday, and we had a few technical issues and could not do that, but always happy to support the Zora Festival and all of the activities that they bring. And it's not just a weekend, you know, there's always other stuff going on. And so when we did try to post them on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. I also went this weekend to Tavares. They had a Unity Festival, and in spite of the I swear I thought I was in a Stephen King movie because it was a little soupy for a while out there. The weather just did not want to cooperate, but, you know, everybody was strong and you know, fighting the weather and everything. I was helping my friend Stephanie with her campaign for state representative, and so went out there and met a lot of nice people and enjoyed a lot of nice entertainment that they had out there, and you know the local community coming out to support each other was really, really nice. So If you have a topic that you want to discuss in the meantime, the number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. Still waiting to see because we have to kind of plan this stuff in advance. And I think maybe we just had to wait. Have to wait for Mayor Dimmick's schedule to free up to call in. But anyway, celebrated my birthday yesterday. And really wanted to go to the beach and kind of watch the sunrise and everything, but it was a little bit chilly, and but I'll probably get over there and do that. But it gives you time to pause and reflect, you know, and then celebrate you. And that's sometimes we just get caught up and we don't take a minute. So you know, I was determined I was gonna just, you know, I mean, there's things that still kind of have to go on, but I decided, you know, it's time to just take a minute and just celebrate me, be thankful to God for, you know, being one of his creations and, you know, trying to do the right thing by him. You know, hopefully I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and hopefully you'll give me some guidance about, you know, the things that I'm not doing right, that I need to step up and do a little bit better. So just glad to be on this earth another year, and I'm not telling you how much, but, you know, some people say 29, you know, and if that's what they want to go with, that's fine. Anyway, we do have some more cases of the coronavirus, unfortunately, the 11th case in the United States. They just confirmed the 11th case. The Pentagon has approved, this is from my LinkedIn Daily Rundown, a request for housing support for 1,000 people who may need to be quarantined. And unfortunately, people, once they hit the ground, they're quarantined for about 2 weeks. So we got to keep them in prayer. I know that's just kind of a hard thing to deal with, but better safe than sorry. Apple, who has stores over there, they're closing all of their stores and corporate offices in China until February 9th. There's some other brands that have closed over there. Levi Strauss, McDonald's, and Starbucks are among those brands closed over there. First coronavirus death reported outside of China happened in the Philippines. So unfortunately, we haven't had any deaths yet. New Zealand joins the U.S., Australia, and other nations that are barring entry to non-citizens who have recently traveled to China. And it says also more than 25,000 flights to and from and inside of China will be suspended this week. And all of that is according to the Bloomberg, which I pulled off a little bit off the my LinkedIn rundown. So want to make sure that you all are keeping up with that and staying healthy. In some cases, they're saying that even though we do have to watch out for the virus, it's not the main thing that we have to be concerned about. We still have to be concerned about the plain old flu. So just want to make sure that everybody's staying safe. But we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to check in and see what's going on and then see if we can get Mira Demings on, if he may have gotten busy today. But the number, if you have issues that you want to discuss, questions and everything, that's 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back. Well, good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us today. They're running a few minutes late. Just was checking my communications, but he should be calling in shortly. So anyway, the number, if you have questions, is 516-387-1944. Super Bowl. Did any of you watch it last night? I actually went over my cousins, and he usually has a big Super Bowl gig, but this time he had to kind of keep it a little bit, I guess, intimate, if you would call it that. But did go over there, have a good time watching it. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and to Patrick Mahomes. And if any of you listened last week, there were a couple people that I had on the show, and they just didn't seem to want to give Kansas City a chance. They thought the 49ers were, you know, going to just, what I gather, just blow them out. But, and, you know, to me, it just really wasn't a surprise when Kansas City won. I mean, they've been, the last few weeks, they've been doing the big comeback. In the last couple of, well, last, I guess the 2 weeks prior to this past week. But they've been doing the big comeback. You know, they get behind and come back. And they actually made a game of it. There was no blowout. The score ended up being, I think, 31-20. I believe that was the score. Just some really engaging and tough football. Some questionable calls, as usual. There are always some questionable calls, but... you know, I think it was a pretty good and relatively fair game. Of course, there's the Super Bowl ads. And, of course, there was the halftime show. And so if you want to comment before we have the mayor on, just give us a call. But, oh, wait, I hear something in the background. And so, Mayor Jerry Demings, are you there?
Yes, I'm on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Congratulations for a successful year as Orange County Mayor.
Thank you very much. It was an exciting year. A lot happened during that year, but we're kind of moving on now to the second year.
Okay. All right. So tell me a little bit about this past year. I know I've seen you in a couple of occasions with the transportation town halls, and I know that's a big deal, and I know you're trying to get some things pushed through for that. So how is, and then also, my understanding is that you're trying to get the city of Orlando kind of on board, too, so this isn't just all on you, you know, because it's going to impact everybody in Central Florida, so. How are things going with that?
Well, it is my goal to advance to the ballot a charter county infrastructure surtax, a sales tax, that will be a 1% tax or a 1 penny tax that will be on the ballot this November the 3rd. And if it passes, it has the potential to bring in revenues of nearly $600 million, to be precise, is $596.4 million that is estimated by the state of Florida. And, you know, there are different pros and cons to it, but as I see it, to address the issues of traffic congestion and the lack of connectivity with the current transportation network that we have to do something. And we're growing so quickly here in Orange County until it begs the question right now. To put the growth into perspective, Orange County is growing at a net of nearly 1,000 new residents each week. The region is growing by a net of about 1,500 people each week, and the state of Florida is growing by over 900 people each day. So all of that adds a pressure on our roadway system.
Okay. I'm going to say, where are they all going? You know, because
well,
we have the other issues, too.
They are coming into town to vacation. They're coming here for business purposes. They're coming here, flying into our international airport, and then going to other destinations here within Central Florida. In fact, our Orlando International Airport had record-breaking numbers in 2019. It had over 50 million. Air passengers who went through the airport, which position the Orlando International Airport as the number one busiest airport in the state of Florida now. We surpassed the Miami International Airport. And you couple that with the fact that the last year we have hold numbers for is 2018. We had over 75 million tourists who visited us here in the metro Orlando area. It is projected that when we receive the 2019 numbers in just a few more months, we will likely surpass the 75 million tourists that we had in 2018. So, you know, all of that creates, you know, pressures for us as a community to keep pace with the growth from dealing with transportation issues to housing issues and housing affordability issues. And, that is something that I have been really active in. Those have been two of my top priorities as the Orange County mayor. But we have many priorities. You know, those are two that I see have impact in many different ways within our community.
And I've seen you at a couple of the housing things as well as that. And actually, I recently attended the midwinter realtor meeting, Florida realtor meeting, and it just has not, it is not subsiding, it's not going away, the housing issue, you know, and unfortunately we have the, in Orlando, the moniker of being the, I guess, least affordable housing in the country, I guess, compared to other things, and with all of these factors considered. What is your goal in terms of, I know there's a lot of factors, but what would be the number one goal in terms of reining that in and making, I guess, Orlando more available, affordable, more welcoming?
Well, as you know, in 2019, in April of 2019, I impaneled a Housing for All task force, and that task force met for nearly 8 months, and in November of last year concluded its work with a recommended 10-year action plan. That action plan kind of had four broad recommendations, and they included the removal of regulatory barriers, the creation of new financial resources to assist with building more affordable units. It included targeted areas of access and opportunity, and it included engagement of the community and the development industry. So having said that, the main recommendations included the creation of a housing trust fund as a local funding source for affordable housing, to pursue a nexus study to evaluate the feasibility of a linkage fee for the region. And then the third thing was to introduce a revolving loan fund to provide low-interest access to capital for nonprofit developers. You know, those developers who are in the business for profit, you know, they tend to go to traditional lending institutions for their capital. But for nonprofit developers, you know, this would be like the Habitat for Humanities or others. They really see it as a challenge to have access to loan funds. And then the fourth area that we talked about within the action plan was the development of a preservation strategy for existing affordable units, because while we're having this conversation, we know that over 110,000 households in Orange County have been identified as being chronically rent stressed. That means that they pay more than 30% of their total household income for rent payments. When you couple the cost of transportation into it, many of them are well beyond the 30%. 50 to 60% of their total household income is eaten up with the housing and transportation costs, and they haven't even paid taxes. You know, the income taxes or other taxes that they perhaps owe. They have not paid for health care, and they haven't bought food. and other basic needs for living. And so this is why we're trying to stabilize this for the broader section of our community. And that is happening at a time when, because of new federal HUD requirements, where HUD really wants to get out of owning actual public housing or residential units, and they want to go more to a voucher program. The Orlando Housing Authority was notified nearly a couple of years ago that HUD wanted to really those aging public housing complexes, such as the Murchison Terraces, the Carver Courts, the Griffin Parks in our community that are 60-plus years old, that are in dire need of rehabilitation, HUD says, we want you to shut those units down. And so if you tear down those units and look to rebuild more modern types of units that have the kinds of amenities that we all want to have to live there, it would take decades to replace the existing housing stock that we have that is for low income public housing types of units. And so we will struggle during this next 10 years with just preserving what we have. So there are ways to do that by making capital improvements to some of the projects. But in many ways, that funding may have to be the derivative of blended sources from both the public sector and the private sector in order to advance the timelines to increase the available housing. So I'm looking for public-private partnerships to be a major player with, I'm going to say, our philanthropic community to make this happen. So in other words, we're looking at a solution that would involve the three P's, the public, private, and philanthropic community to come together to adequately address the needs of our community.
And that is a hefty task, but definitely very much needed. I wanted to ask you, with the first year behind you, what did you find to be the most challenging task for you?
Well, I guess probably the most challenging is just sheer time management. For me, as the elected sheriff for the county for a decade, I worked 12 to 14-hour days, and I still work 12 to 14-hour days. So in terms of the total time that I work, it's still about the same. What is different, however, is the number of people who try to fit within that space. So scheduling everyone that wants to meet with me is a bit of a challenge sometimes. I encourage them to meet with staff and not me. But if, in many cases, they're very persistent. They want to meet with the mayor. But there's only one mayor for the nearly 1.4 million people who call Orange County home, and so therefore it's not even practical that I can meet with everyone. But I'm a person of the people. I walk amongst the people, and because of that, I try to ensure that they have access. And so if they don't mind waiting sometimes to get in to see me, they're able to do it. But it may take months for them to actually do a face-to-face with me, as opposed to having the confidence and trust in my staff to be able to assist them, which has required me to, within our internal operations, say that customer service is a number one goal of Orange County today, is to at least improving customer service is a number one goal for our county. And so we're doing that by re-engineering processes and use more technology in the delivery of service to our residents, so that maybe they don't have to come into our buildings. They can to communicate with us electronically through other means to get their answers to whatever the questions they may have. We rolled out something. We were one of the first counties to roll out something that you can access questions or get questions answered about county services through Alexa. You know, the software app where, you know, you can just, I don't know if you have Alexa in your home or business or not, but if you did, you could go on Alexa and ask Alexa to sign you into the Orange County app. And then you can ask Alexa questions like, who's the Orange County mayor? What are the days of my garbage collection? You know, if I live in a certain area, you give your address. If you want to know a question about, if you have rather a specific question about some type of service, you know, who's the public works director? You know, how do I call in a pothole? How do I phone in a traffic signal out? Alexa will give you all of those answers today. And we're one of the few counties that has 311. So if you want information about any Orange County services, all you have to do is dial 311 and essentially for 16 hours out of the average day, if you dial 311, if you're within the county, you will get a human being that can answer questions for you. And if you don't remember, you know, there's a specific number, but the 311 works for heartlines and the cellular phones. But the number, if you wanted to dial the full number, it would be 407-836-3111. And we rolled that out more than a decade ago, and it has proven to be quite the asset for our county as well.
So, and I have used the 311. It has been very helpful, you know, from time to time for a variety of things, whether it's like animal control or something else, you know, regarding, you know, light, any of that type of stuff. So it's
absolutely
very, very
if you
helpful.
See if there's an issue with any kind of animal, you can just dial 311 and they will take the information and dispatch the animal services workers. If there's a dead carcass on the side of the road that you think needs to be picked up, you can dial that number as well. So it's an array of services that you can access through dialing 311.
Okay. Now, what are your goals for 2020?
In 2020, this year, my number one goal is to see the passage of this sales tax that we're advancing. Secondly, the Board of County Commission authorized the execution of the housing trust fund. We will begin with a $10 million contribution from public dollars, but I will begin to raise money from the private sector that will help us do things like offset rent payments for individuals who may not be able to afford housing that's close to where they work. And this will be beyond the current existing government programs that individuals can qualify, you know, by income guidelines. You know, if they're low or very low income earners, they can go on waiting list to receive assistance through HUD. They can go on waiting list to receive other rent assistance and et cetera. But we really want to expand the individuals who will be eligible for some assistance. We're going to continue to lobby in Tallahassee for the Sadowska Trust funds to get our proportionate share back into Orange County. As you know, excuse me, on every real estate transaction, there's a documentary stamp fee that is collected that is supposed to go into this fund called the Sadowska Trust Fund to assist with housing affordability throughout the state of Florida. Well, for the last several decades, the Florida legislature and the governor have reallocated much of the funding that was intended for housing affordability to other state needs. And we're optimistic that this legislative session that won't happen, but already there have been discussions in committee meetings where it appears that this is going to be another session where they're going to divert hundreds of millions of dollars from the Sadowski Trust Fund to other state budget line items at a time when the entire state has a challenge with housing affordability.
What is it, if I may ask, what is it about this fund, this money, that makes it so accessible to the legislature without having to bounce it back off the public, especially if it's public funds that are specifically targeted toward affordable housing, especially with the crisis that we're having right now? What is it? Why aren't other funding means, you know, being tapped into?
You know, we have the blessing here in the state of Florida of being a state that does not have a state income tax. And so because we don't have a state income tax and our elected leaders are somewhat adverse to increasing property taxes or any other types of taxes, essentially what they have to do is look at all of the different revenue sources that the state has, and it's a shell game. So they will move money from one purposeful area that is allowed under Florida statute to other areas to be able to fill the gaps. And, you know, I believe that many of our legislators would agree that we have a housing crisis as a state, but yet funds are diverted from the intended purpose when the voters of the state of Florida voted for the tax through the documentary stamps that is part of our state constitution. They did so probably 30 years or so ago with the understanding that it would be used to assist with housing. You know, since you're a realtor, you understand that sometimes in terms of getting a person into a property, you know, it's all about the total cost of a particular housing building project, the cost of the land, the cost of the construction, and the Sadowski Trust Fund monies could be used to assist with CHIP funding, sale funding, and other types of assistance that helps with, that can go to help with down payment assistance. Rent assistance could be used to create incentives for developers or investors to build a certain housing stock, and sadly, many of those. When I say hundreds of millions, that is what I do mean. That we're on an annual basis, they have diverted in the recent past hundreds of millions of dollars from the intended purpose for housing to various other things that have little to nothing to do with housing, but the legislature, you know, this is what they have been doing because they create the priority list, and the priorities have not been for them on this in this area. So I say to you know, the listening public, the watching public, is that they have to get active in lobbying and communicating with their elected officials, who are state House of Representative members as well as state senators, to create the kind of political pressure on them where when they have their conversations and make decisions in Tallahassee, that they see this as a priority. They should be communicating with the governor to make sure that the governor sees it as a priority, because as elected officials or politicians, when the community is engaged, when the electorate is engaged in lobbying and putting pressure on the elected officials, they tend to have better outcomes.
I know you got to go, but a couple of things real quick. How are you holding up? You've got some interesting family dynamics right now. You all, how are you all doing?
What do you mean? My family is like every other family.
Yeah.
We all have interesting family dynamics. But I know what you're talking about in all seriousness, because my wife is a member of the United States House of Representatives, and she had the dubious distinction of being appointed as one of the 7 impeachment managers. It has really catapulted her to the national stage, and there's lots of interest in who she is. She's in her 2nd term as a member of Congress, and so it is nothing short of extraordinary that she was selected to be one of 7 Americans to be a participant in a rare thing that happens in our nation capital. In the entire history of our nation, there's only been 3 presidents that went through impeachment proceedings, and this is the 3rd time in modern history. This is the 2nd time. The first one was of Andrew Johnson back in the 1800s, and so then, of course, prior to President Trump, it was President Clinton. And so my wife is a part of a history-making set of events and circumstances going on in our country. So it has allowed her, I believe, fan base, if I can use that word or description, to increase 10,000-fold across the country. But it also has created, you know, some haters as well. And so it's not without controversy. And because I serve as the mayor of one of the nation's largest counties in another somewhat high-profile role, yes, there's some spillover into what I do. Even though as a county mayor, which is a rare thing in the state of Florida and in the nation, where you have the CEO for the county as an elected person, in that role, my election is a nonpartisan election, but many people see some of the dynamics that's occurring in our nation as very partisan issues. And so we stay focused. You know, for us, we have to stay focused on doing the work that we believe that the people elected us to do. And so I'm not dissuaded by the negative people or those who don't always support the initiatives that we do, because at the end of the day, my ultimate goal is to make the best decisions that I can on behalf of the residents of Orange County, and I just have this phenomenal opportunity to do that at this time in my life, and so we're serving, we're both serving, humble servants, serving in extraordinary times.
And one last quick question, any activities through the county for Black History and Women's History Month?
Yes, we every year from January and February tend to be the busiest times of the year for me. As an African American and serving in high profile positions for decades now, and being the benefactor of some others who went before me, who blazed the trails, in many ways, I've been privileged to be the first African American to serve in the last three or four different roles that I played in this community. And so during Black History Month, I get asked many times. I do probably in a month's time, I do 50 or 60 different speeches, you know, and on different matters. But we'll do that this month as well. And so I kind of look forward to getting out and getting about among the people.
Well, Mayor Demings, thank you for taking some time out of those 12 to 14 hours for me. Really appreciate it for us here. And, you know, enjoy your day, and thank you for all you're doing for our county.
All right. Thank you very much. And, Gretchen, I hope that this worked well for you. And I'm always honored whenever anybody asks me to comment on various things. I try to be as transparent as I possibly can be, and you know, have real talk. So best wishes in what you're doing with your radio show and what you're doing as a realtor as well.
Thank you so much. You do the same, and may God be with you. Appreciate your time.
Yes. We'll see you out there somewhere. All right. Bye-bye.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Take care.
All right.
And we're going to take a quick break. Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944 or something you want to comment on, 516-387-1944. Patrick Mahomes is coming to Disney World. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we want to thank again Mayor Jerry Demings of Orange County, Florida, for his time to give us an update on how things have been going for him and for the county. And we look forward to getting things taken care of, especially with transportation and housing in this area. God knows what we're going through. So. Anyway, it is the first Monday of the month on G's Power Hour, and that means it's time for our favorite mortgage person, Jabir Najeer. Good morning. Good afternoon, rather. Jabir, how are you?
Yes, good afternoon. I'm doing good. How about yourself, Gretchen?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for taking the time. So give us the nitty-gritty, what's going on, and there's a lot of stuff going on right now that's kind of probably having some sort of impact, so or is it?
Yes, it, definitely. A lot of things are going on there that are having an impact, and a lot of it comes from the markets, what's going on in the markets. I know we've talked about it multiple times as far as globally how certain things will affect even our local markets. And I know one of the biggest things is with the coronavirus over there in China. has actually caused their markets to dip, which actually has spilled over into our markets, which is that, in addition to a lot of things politically, has actually caused the interest rates to drop even more, even further since the last time that we spoke. And as a result, yes, it just basically means that money is cheaper to borrow. And of course, interest is the amount of the interest is the cost of the money when you borrow money to purchase a home. So if the bank just isn't charging you as much to borrow money, that means it increases your buying power. So a lot of people have actually been concerned with the increase in housing prices over the last couple of years and wonder if they can afford it. And even though housing prices aren't necessarily dropping, the interest rates dropping means that the payment on that house is now lower than it would have been a year ago. Even a couple months ago, it's lower, but definitely a lot lower than what it would have been a year ago. So,
because I thought I heard something that did creep back up just a tiny bit last month or toward the end of the year, but that now it's dipped down again.
Yeah, so the thing is that once we, we go basically a whole month in between discussions here, so it just depends on where you're looking at in the month from week to week. So whenever somebody is looking at rates, you just have to keep in mind, especially when shopping for rates, that if you talk to a banker or mortgage broker, mortgage advisor, let's say in the beginning of January, and then you're shopping and you talk to somebody else in the middle of January, those rates could change. And in some cases, in most cases, they don't have a great swing, but depending on what events are going on in, you know, our country or in some cases even the world, there could be a big swing one way or the other. So I think, I don't remember the exact day now, but probably around Thursday or so of last week or Wednesday or so last week, the rates started to drop back down a little bit. But then definitely around the middle of the month, they were increased. Not a dramatic increase. So when we hear sharp increases, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, there's a quarter point or half a point higher. It could be less than an eighth of a point higher, which may not make a big difference in your payment, but it's just an indication that's going up and not going down. And sometimes when you see 1 or 2 days of, you know, increase in rates, when you look at the minute increases, or when you open that chart up even bigger, there's small increases that inch towards the next eighth of a point. But that's where, you know, a lot of people look at whenever they try to see where the trends are going up or down, especially when rates are so low. You know, you're not going to see a rate jump from 3.3 to 4.3 overnight. But you may see a jump from 3.3 to 3.5 to 3.7, you know, then 3.8. So you're still not at 3.4, so there's not a big difference in the payment, but there are those small increases from day to day.
I wanted to ask you something, and I know we're a little short on time, but I did want to ask you something about online mortgage calculators. You know, a lot of us tend to kind of go to them to kind of get an idea before we take the next step, and whether we're going to purchase or refinance or whatever the case. Are they reliable? Are they accurate? And what are the benefits and pitfalls?
They are extremely accurate, but you have to also understand what you're looking at.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with those mortgage calculators, but the thing is that a lot of times somebody, let's say, for example, Zillow. Zillow has a mortgage calculator. I use Zillow because that's probably one of the most popular websites that people go to when they're looking at homes. And Zillow say you could buy this $300,000 home for $1,000 a month. So a lot of people say, oh, wow, that's within my budget. You know, I could afford $1,000 a month or $1,200 a month, whatever it may be. And then they come and talk to a broker, and that same broker tells them $2,000 a month or whatever, you know, the price may be based on that home. And the reason I say you have to know what you're looking at is that Zillow doesn't hide it. They just put it in the small section below all the numbers. There's these numbers that are big, and it's made to pull you in. If you really pay attention, and even me, who I'm in the business, and sometimes I go to Zillow and I'm looking for it. Not that it takes me that long, but it may take me a couple extra seconds to find exactly where it says it, especially when I'm on the line with a client, I'm trying to direct them toward that section. But Zillow normally have that you're putting down 20%. It's just set up that way automatically in the system. So the average person, when they're looking at this home, they see $300,000 for a $300,000 home for a certain payment. but they don't look at the bottom small print to say if you put down $50,000. In addition to that, you also have to look at, depending on the mortgage calculator that you're looking at, it doesn't include your taxes and insurance. So if you're looking at a $300,000 home, and let's just say that, you know, it has a $3,600 in taxes, and let's just say another, I'm just going to use $1,200 a year in insurance, you automatically have to add another $400 a month to whatever that mortgage calculator says. And then there's other things such as HOA and those type of things. Now, if you're putting down less than 20%, then you also have to take into consideration that there's mortgage insurance. Now, the reason I said that they're accurate is that a lot of these mortgage calculators will calculate all that stuff for you, but you have to actually input it. So if you're just going to the website saying, hey, how much is this home? It's going to spit out a number for you, enough for you to call the number that's on that website, and then they kind of hook you from there. But if you're really trying to see what it would really cost you, then it allows you to put the numbers in yourself. How much do you have for a down payment? What type of loan program are you looking for? If you're putting down less than 20%, it will actually, in most cases, calculate the mortgage insurance for you. So that's why I say it is accurate if you know what you're looking at. But for most people, or a large amount of people, I should say, they just go to whatever it says on that first page and says, hey, that's what my mortgage payment is. When many times they don't even look at, I mean, one of the biggest things is that most of them are set up for 20% down.
Okay. Yeah, I have seen that. One of the things I do kind of like about them, though, is that you can find out if I pay this much a month, what might be the cost of my house, or if the cost of my house or the cost of a house I'm looking at is this amount, how much would my mortgage payments likely be? And so those are the things I like about it. The thing is, like you said, you do have to go ahead and put in things like your taxes and your insurance. And even you want to, you know, if you have an HOA, I would even try to calculate that in there as well.
Yes, 100%. I agree, because even though the HOA is something that you normally pay directly to the HOA, it is a housing cost. So you do want to know what that house is actually going to cost you monthly. Even if you're paying your HOA quarterly, semi-annually, or just, you know, annually, you still want to know, what does this house actually cost me monthly? Because if you really focus on a mortgage payment alone, later on down the line, these HOA fees can definitely catch up with you. If you happen to, let's just say, if you're refinancing your home and you decide to include taxes and insurance because you had the 20% in equity in your home that it's not required, that is also something I see sometimes people fall in trouble with, where, you know, I'm refinancing homeowners all the time that they haven't paid their property tax for the last 2 years because you had just lower payment. So you have all this disposable income monthly that you may not be used to having. And sometimes we say, okay, well, if we could save that money, we'll put it away. A lot of times we see the extra money in our account and we end up spending the money, whether it's on vacation, shopping, just, you know, buying more food at the grocery store than we normally would have. And that adds up throughout the year. And then when those taxes are due and the county asks for the, you know, that $2,000 check or that $4,000 check, a lot of times it's an issue. And then you stretch it out to the following year and now you owe 2 years of taxes, which, you know, maybe $4,000 to $8,000 for certain people. And it just becomes a snowball effect from that point on.
Okay. All right. So, what else is going on with mortgages right now? You know, it's like you said, I mean, you talked about the other impact, but one of the people that I spoke to said that they don't really expect any type of huge increase until maybe in the fall. Is that what you're seeing as well?
I guess you could say fall. From what I've read and what other experts believe, it should actually last all the way through the end of 2011.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 2020. I'm thinking 2021 in my head, and
okay.
For whatever reason, not the 2011. It should last all the way through to 2020, so we shouldn't see any increases until 2021. So I'm hoping that is the case for those who are actually currently in a situation where they're in a higher interest rate to refinance into a lower interest rate. And for those who are looking to purchase a home, they're able to purchase a home at a lower monthly payment than what they probably would have been paying even last summer. So those are the two areas I would definitely suggest that anybody that's either in the housing market or looking to refinance, take advantage of the low rates now, because we don't know what 2021 should bring. But yes, to answer your question in short, it should definitely, well, I don't want to say definitely because we never know, but there are strong indicators that it should remain low for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, I mean, to me, any chance that you can, especially if you're thinking about refinancing, any chance that you can back down from a higher interest rate or a high interest payment and stick a little money in your emergency fund that you know most of us are told to have and we don't, some of us don't. Anything that we can do to make that better is a good deal.
Yes, always, yes.
So,
but,
before we...
Okay.
No, go ahead.
No, but I was going to say, just to give everybody an idea where the national averages are right now for rates, with FHA, it's at a 3.25, for conventionals at 3.5. Well, a little bit more, 3.47 would be the national average right now. So just something for you to keep in mind if you were out there shopping where your rates could possibly have dropped to. And you can always check with your banker if you're already in the process of shopping to see what the payment would be reduced to on a particular home that you're looking at.
Okay. Jabir, how do we find you?
You can always contact me by email at Jabir, J-A-B-I-R, at Riajan, R-I-A-J-A-N.com. Or you can contact me toll-free at 888-326-0285. Once again, it's 888-326-0285, and my personal extension is 101.
Thank you. Appreciate you taking the time out today. I'm sorry we had to cut you short today, but those things, trying to get on the mayor's calendar is a little crazy, so appreciate you doing that. anything we need to look at between now and next month when we have you back?
No big changes right now. Just, you know, one of the biggest things I would always just say is when it comes to the housing programs, there are housing programs that are going away or a couple of counties between Central Florida all the way down to lower Florida. I know Seminole County ran out of funds. So if you're looking for down payment assistance, then there's other programs that actually have funds becoming available. So that's just one of the things I would definitely look into. If you haven't at least started the first-time home buyer class in your area, I would definitely do that because you don't want to wait till you are ready to purchase and then there's no availabilities for the class. So those are the things I would definitely tell somebody to take a look at. Other than that, that's one of the, in short, whatever I could fit in the last minute or two here we have, that would be one of the biggest things I would suggest for somebody.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Y'all go get that money. Go get it. Thanks, Jabir. Have
it's
a blessed
out there, take
day.
Take advantage of it. No problem. You're welcome.
Definitely. Talk to you next month.
All right, sounds good. Bye.
Bye. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a very blessed day. It is Black History Month. Go out there and support your local museums and activities that are going on there. And enjoy yourself and have a blessed day. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.